The Apostle Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I want to use as a thought this morning the 8th and the 9th verses that I read. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is almost impossible anymore to get the message across to people that you are saved solely by God's grace. And the reason that that is so difficult to get across is that we've got so many people, we've got so many preachers, we've got so many teachers, and we've got so many people teaching works, that we get so ingrained with thinking that we are going to be able to do something that is going to make us worthy of salvation. I go back over in the Old Testament and read where that when God was ready to destroy the earth after he had looked down and seen the very continual wickedness of man, and he said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from off the face of the earth." And God has the power to do that. He's the only one who can do that. We get all excited today about what we're going to do. And I will say this. I think we are going to get ourselves in a much bigger mess than we're in right now. And we're in a pretty big mess right now as a world. And no question about it. And if you're oblivious to that, then obviously it tells me you aren't paying any attention to anything that's going on, period, because you just can look around and listen and watch and observe and see that we're in some pretty serious times. But when the Lord looked down and saw that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were continually evil, he said, "I will destroy man from off the face of the earth." And obviously he had the power and the ability to just create him a new one. But the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord saved him. He spared him. You and I need to understand this morning that when God looks down and sees us today, or as he looked down on us in the past, for those of us who've been saved, there was a time whenever that he saw that we were alienated from him, that we were not one of his children. We had rejected him. We had denied him. We had not believed him whenever his spirit spoke into our heart. And effectively, spiritually, we were dead. But by his grace and because of his grace and his love alone, he was generous enough to reach down and to redeem our soul. And not because of anything that we had done, or anything that we could do, but purely because of His grace. And we just need to understand this morning that it takes the love of God, it takes the leadership of God, it takes the Spirit of God to be able to touch the hearts of men and women and to draw them under the foot of the cross to where that He can save them. Every single one of us had to come to that point in our lives to where that we recognize that there was nothing within ourselves that we could do or that made us worthy of Him redeeming our soul. When we finally ran out of everything that we could think of that we might possibly do and realized that we weren't even deserving of His salvation, we were getting to the point to where that He could do something about it. We still have people today who are teaching works, and we have people who are preaching works. And that ranges from everything to what all that you can do to live a good life, to what all you can do in the way of carrying out some function that will entitle you to salvation. There is not one single thing that any of us are able to do that makes us worthy of His salvation. It's by His grace that we are saved. And through faith, the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. And you can't even generate faith yourself. It is impossible for us to do. We can talk about having faith, but that faith has to come from the Lord. It isn't something you just, well, I'll just have faith. You cannot do it. It has to come from God. It does come from God. It will come from God. And we have to understand that. We must put our trust and our faith in Him. But He has to give us the faith for us to be able to believe to the saving of our soul. You see, we get so many ideas anymore that it's what we're doing. It isn't what we're doing. It's what He is doing. And we need to remember that. We need to be sure that we're emphasizing to people that it's because of God's goodness and God's grace that we are able to be His children. It's His mercy that has granted us that privilege. And it certainly should be an honor to each one of us, one of His children, to be able to call Him our Father. I thought this morning as I was getting around, I thought, you know, I probably should ask the fathers this morning, what is the most memorable gift, Father's Day gift, that you've ever received? And then I began to think, you know, what would I say? And you know, my children give me gifts every year for Father's Day. But I have to be honest with you, probably I couldn't tell you what it was last year that they gave me. So it must have not made too big of an impact on me, Ronnie. But I can tell you this one thing, that my Heavenly Father gave me a gift one time that I have never forgotten. I have never forgotten. I've never been ashamed of it. I've always been happy to tell others about it and to share it. Just like Joyce was talking this morning about sharing the apples. You know, each one of us who are a child of God have something that we can share and we need to share. We don't need to be selfish about it, because I can tell you the more that we share, the more that God will bless us and the more that He gives to us. And you just cannot outgive God. He can't do it. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I very well remember when I was seeking the Lord, And I wanted to be saved. I would listen to what people were telling me and say, oh, you know, you need to you try this, do that. I was trying everything I knew that I could think of saying, and I still wasn't getting saved. I got mad at the Lord because He was saving other people and He wasn't saving me, and I knew I didn't do some of the things they were doing. Let me tell you something. God doesn't save us because of our goodness. So some of you who've got this idea that, I've got to live good. Well, you need to be living good as a child of God, but you can't live good enough to become one of His children. And so you need to stop teaching people that they need to live good. First of all, the Bible very clearly teaches that we all were condemned to death. And then when we reached that, quote, age of accountability, and we rejected the Lord, that we died and that we're dead. That's why that lost people can't understand the word of the Lord. I tell you people that all the time, and some of you just frown at me like that I've just said something bitter to you. Because I don't think you want to accept that. That's why there's so much ism and schism in the world today. We've got too many lost people who are trying to interpret the word of God, and they can't understand the word of God. The word of God is spiritually discerned, and they're not spiritual. They are dead. You and I, as a child of God, are alive. We've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm kind of wandering around here a little bit, but hopefully this thing will all come together for you so that you understand where I'm coming from this morning. The main point that I want you to understand is that God gives us a gift. Gives it to us. Some of us talking last week, and something was said about giving something. I want to tell you something. I give you something, it's yours. And what you do with it then, that's your business. But I don't want it back. You know, I'm not giving it to you because I didn't want it. I give it to you because I wanted you to have it. But I'm not going to give it to you and then turn around and say, hey, I gave you that. I want you to give it back to me. God doesn't do that either. When God gave me the gift of eternal life, and it was eternal, when he gave it to me, he didn't come along and say, Parson, you screwed up again. I've got to have it back. He doesn't do that. He's not going to say that to me. He probably should, but he doesn't, because he's greater. He is God, and he loves me. And he gave me the gift, and it was mine. Always be mine. I've never been ashamed of it. I've never been sorry of it. I have yet to hear a child of God who's truly been born again say, I'm sorry the Lord saved me. I used to say of the Masonic Lodge, I never heard a Mason speak bad about the Masonic Lodge. I still haven't to this day. I'm not a Mason, so that y'all won't think, well, he's up there bragging about the Masons or something. I'm not a Mason. I've had a few people who thought I was. Some Masons who thought I was, so I must know the secret and don't know it. No, I'm just kidding about that. My father was a Mason. Probably caused the biggest rift between my mom and dad of anything that I can recall in my lifetime. Oh, Lord, Mom just pitched a fit right and left. The only other thing she pitched a bigger fit about Stan was when I married Shirley. She lived to regret that. But anyway, I've never been sorry that the Lord saved me. I've acted sorry probably a lot of times. I've been a very sorry example, but I've never been sorry that the Lord saved me, and I don't believe I ever will. That was a perfect gift. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Oh, man, there are people who would love to be able to say, well, you know, this is who I am, this is what I've done, and so I'm entitled to it. And you know what? They're going to stand before the great I Am in judgment and argue with the Lord over whether or not they should go to heaven or to hell. They're going to argue with him. Yeah. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these good things? Didn't we live this good life? Didn't we help these people? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. I don't care how good your works are, it's not going to get you into heaven. I don't care how bad your life has been that you've lived. That's not what's going to send you to hell. There's only one thing that sends people to hell. There's only one sin that sends people to hell. That's the sin of unbelief. That's what brought this whole thing into existence in the first place. When God said, and the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die, they did not believe what he said. Sin of unbelief. Death was pronounced upon him. Oh, we get so excited about all the sins there are in the world, and I'm not advocating that we go out here and just sin anything you want. And I don't advocate that you go out here and just live the way you want to. But let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to get people into heaven is to have the gift of eternal life given unto them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing that's going to send people to hell is the failure to have believed in the only begotten Son of God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That doesn't fit a lot of your theology. But I can back up what I'm saying by the Word of God this morning. And I don't believe you can back anything else up other than that. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the apostle knew, as he wrote under inspiration of the Lord, that, oh, if we could just do it by works, I'll guarantee you we'd be bragging about what all we could do. Let me tell you something. The longer that I'm in the ministry, and the more years that I live here upon the face of the earth, the more I realize how little I truly do as one of his preachers and how much he does. I really mean that in all sincerity. The only thing that I have that I can do is just come and say, Lord, use me as one of your instruments to preach your word. He has to give me the word. He has to give me the message. He has to deliver the message. Oh, I can get up here and go through all the motions, but it doesn't do any good unless it touches your heart. It needs to touch your heart. And I can't do that. That's impossible for me to do. I was reading again this week, and I'll close here in just a second. I was reading again this week on the day of Pentecost, when all of those people there, and those men sit up there and preach the Word of God, and they marveled. The multitudes marveled. Why, they said, we hear them speaking in our own tongue. It's a miracle. I never cease to be amazed at how God is able to take one message this morning that comes through my mouth and delivers it to the hearts of each one of you. That's a miracle. I don't do it. See, I don't know how it's being applied in your heart. Y'all sitting there just looking at me like you always do. I don't see much different in your expressions, and so I don't know whether that it's enjoyable or whether it's terrible. But I know God knows how to take and to use that message and allow it to speak to your heart. That's the miracle to me. And see, that's what God does. I didn't have anything to do with it other than just to stand up here and make the delivery. And I do thank him. I thank him more times than you can imagine for him taking and allowing me the wonderful privilege of representing him. And I love to do that as one of his children. But I can do that because so many years ago, he gave unto me the greatest gift that I have ever received or will ever receive, when he gave unto me the gift of eternal life. And not just to me, to many of you. But he gave it to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. We didn't deserve it. But he gave it to us.